An honor and such a privilege to actually be here with you guys, and I know Ben touched a little bit on PAYS, but just wanted to reckon what Pat said with PAYS. Once you're on PAYS, it just kind of becomes a culture and your mentality in what you do, just reaching out to people, loving on people, discipling people. And I love that even if we weren't on PAYS, we would continue to do that, and that there really wasn't a break, but that we could actually continue what we started in America and take it back home with us in Germany, where we actually ended up getting married and lived for the past 3 years. Yeah. Before I start, I just would love to pray for us. I'm going to do that. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. I thank you that you're here with us. I thank you that you're the author of relationship. I thank you that you intended us to be in relationship. And I thank you, God, that tonight you're going to open hearts and that your word is going to sink into them. In the name of Jesus, amen. What I love about relationship is that actually the author of relationship is God. And when it comes down to thriving in relationship, there's one thing that we always have to have in mind to remember. There's no relationship that can be striving if it doesn't have Jesus in it and God in it. And that's just something we got to set straight from the first step on, that first things first, Jesus is always first. And Jesus should always be our first priority in our relationship. So in Mark 12:30 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And we'll really truly not love anybody else before we love God first. And that's a hard truth and can be heartbreaking, that you have to work on your relationship with Christ first before you can work on someone else's relationship. And I remember that being the hardest journey for myself, just coming to the confession that I need Jesus more and more and more before I'm actually able to deal with someone else, and that Jesus loving us first and giving his heart, soul, and mind into our being, he deserves to be our first priority. And I remember I was back in Germany, I had this gorgeous room which was kind of like all windows and my bed. And I had this picture hanging on our wall, this picture frame with like this old letter writing in it. And I woke up to it actually every morning and it said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else shall be given to you." And just waking up to that every morning and being reminded, those words being engraved on my heart, that seeking his kingdom first, he will shall provide everything I need and everything I will ever need. Does that mean everything I want? Probably not. But surely everything I need, and I'm so confident in that. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, is what it says in Philippians 2 verse 5. Setting God first in my relationship with Pat was never a downer. It was always the right choice, and I will never regretting that, making life choices with putting Jesus first. But fact is these days that we're surrounded by a culture that actually tells us we can handle it all by ourselves. When it comes down to relationships, it's mostly just about one another person. It's just me and about my partner, but actually it shouldn't be. It shouldn't just be about us two, it just should be about us three, which is God, my partner, me, and allowing other people to speak into our lives. But fact is, we are surrounded by a world that tells us that we can have everything at any time if we just want it. Why should we date godly or strive in a relationship with godly principles when we could have it so much more easier? Just have whatever you want right at that moment. Why should we date godly, or why should godly dating be a thing? And on PAYS we have this quote that actually teaches us not what to think, but how to think. You know, it is not good if you just adopt someone else's impression on you just because you think that might be the right thing. No, actually teaching someone how to think is far greater than actually just adopting it. So, and that's just that thing that I found so interesting, is that if we date godly and we become the man and the woman we're meant to be, God will always pour out this blessing over that. So I kind of wanted to start off with that, because that is our first and solid foundation. Without God, there can't be a godly relationship. Does that make sense?
Cool.
Awesome. And I kind of found, in preparation of this, I kind of found a golden rule, a rule that really helped me, that sustained me through the seasons of dating 6 years with Pat, and a rule that is not really a rule, but more like a fun fact and a great addition to our relationship. And that rule, and rule sounds so harsh, I apologize for that. but I'm not a Native American Australian speaker. I'm actually German, so thank you for being easy on me. So that rule would be, surround yourself with people who know you, love you, cheer you on, and tell you straight up when you're wrong in dating. In a world of confusion, it can be so real to have questions like, how far is too far in a relationship? How shortly after I broke up with someone can I date someone new? Is making out with my partner okay? Can I do a couple vacation trip? What does a godly woman look like? What does a godly man look like? And we're surrounded with all these questions inside our head. And we want to date godly as church kids. And we really want to do a good choice, but how are we doing this? How can we date godly and how can we have a thriving relationship when all these questions arise? And the list goes on and on. The truth is, without having anybody speak into our life, we're pretty good with finding our own answers. We're pretty good with just making stuff up. You know, you can go on Insta, you can go on YouTube, you can go on Facebook. Just put dating advice into Google. There will be tons of things where you can figure it out yourself. You don't need anybody to speak in your relationship. Because these days, it's so easy to have just anybody tell you anything. And as long as it meets your personal needs, what? It's all right. But it actually isn't. You should have people speaking into your life and into your relationship that are committed to work the journey with you, that are not afraid to tell you when you're wrong. And I think these days it's so easy to just justify everything you're doing. You know, we just had a sleepover, but as long as your blankets are separated, that's still godly. No, it's not. It simply is not. You know, last week my boyfriend kissed another girl because we have an open relationship and we just want to love on people like Jesus loved on them. Wow. Want to read that scripture? No, I don't. Actually, I don't. Please don't. But you know, the truth is, as long as in youth group we're staying separated from one another and nobody sees what's actually going on under the surface, that's all right. But that shouldn't be the case. The case should be that you surround yourself. Studies say that 30% of young couples end their relationship via texts. Confession time, guys. I was one of them. Because truth is, before I was dating Pat, I was in a couple of relationships. And I loved Jesus. And I really, really did, but just somewhat got lost along the journey. My heart was just so vulnerable, and it was out there, and guys would just come and take a bite from it, or you would just put yourself out there in the open, and I was one of these vulnerable girls. I was relying on my own heart and my own understanding. I was trying to figure out this relationship thing as a Christian girl, woman, rising up to be, and I was struggling. I was struggling so hard to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. I was living a double life that was actually not meant to be a double life. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Somewhat, I couldn't trust that he knew better. I was just in that journey of finding out, you know, what does it look like? How far could I go? How far is too far? And I couldn't even trust or think to dare that other people could speak into my life as a young Christian. I was in an emotional, abusive relationship during that time, and that was really, really hard. I was living a life that was committed to church and partying. I loved Jesus, and I loved Jesus not. But somewhat, my heart needed a change, and my heart was on that personal journey. And I'm so, so, so grateful that Jesus actually took me on that journey, that people around me that actually prayed for me. So I made the decision to follow Christ during that time, and we touched on that interview earlier. And I love that no matter where you are with your relationship right now, that Jesus can make everything new. And that out of every relationship there can come strength and prosperity if you decide to love on Jesus and make him the first priority in your relationship. And it wasn't shortly after I decided that I actually met Pat, and one of the things that I loved about him from the very moment, and that sounds so cheesy now because you all get an intake on our romance, was actually that he wasn't like the other guys. He was chasing after Jesus. And in order for me to catch a glimpse of him, I had to look to Jesus. And that was the one thing that got me. There's nothing, ladies, I tell you, there's nothing more attractional than a guy that loves Jesus more than you. That's just truth and fact. And I know that that's what they teach you in church, but just really that wholehearted commitment to follow Jesus, no matter what it takes through the season, that's what women really want. Amen. Amen, come on. And what I love about Pastor the most is that he wasn't afraid to let people speak into his life. He wasn't afraid to show his ugly side. He wasn't afraid to allow people to actually come and say, Pat, that's not good. And from the moment I met him, he always kept that personality of, you know what, if you're wrong, I hope people tell us. Please tell us. So the golden rule, surrounding yourself with people who love you, cheer you on, and are not afraid to tell you when you're wrong. People who hold you accountable to the person God wants you to be in your relationship. Who follow you on your journey of dating and are willing to answer the hard questions for you as a couple. People who confront you when you're spending too much time together and neglect the world around you. And that can be a thing, guys. People who are willing to ask the tough questions. How are you dealing with sexual temptation as a Christian in your relationship? Are we just not talking about that topic? Or are we actually wanting to unravel that? People who know they might upset you and are not afraid to upset you because they're committed to work together with you in the dating. Only people who love Christ more than you do will be willing to tell you when you're wrong in dating and are willing to hold you accountable on that. And that's the whole idea of mentoring and having someone with you, even in dating. And Pat's going to touch on that in a little bit. But I think just, it can be a game changer. It can be a game changer. And it can be so unbelievable striving for your relationship if you allow other people to come into it and allow them to be a part of your relationship. Yeah, that's from my side.
Thanks, babe. Alrighty, so the golden rule. Talking about, for us, basically translated the golden rule, is mentoring. And I don't know like if you've heard about mentoring before, but actually we're really, really passionate about mentoring or discipleship. We're really passionate about bringing people along alongside us so that we can pour into people and bringing people alongside me that somebody else can pour into me. So what I want to talk about is, as we talk about thriving in relationships and how to really live a godly relationship, we want to talk about this mentor relationship. So I want to talk about what does a mentor actually look like? What are some, you know, qualities that a mentor should have? And I'm going to share some stories what that looked like in our life, because we've had people that poured into our life, which we're absolutely grateful for, that these people decided to pour into our life, which is awesome. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Titus 2, verse 1 through 8. So Titus 2, verse 1 through 8. Little background. Paul was actually one of the guys that basically mentored or discipled Titus, and Titus was in his new, basically in his role right now, where he was teaching his congregation or his people on what it looks like to be a follower of Christ or to be a disciple of Christ. And If you read with me right now, there is a few qualities that we're going to talk about in just a little bit, but let's just read it. Titus 2, verse 1 through 8. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. So this is Paul talking to Titus. To sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husband and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will remain the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you. So Paul is very clear on what a godly woman or a godly man is looks like, and what he wants to do right here is tell Titus, hey, these are the things that I want you to pass on to your people. So keep that in mind. We're going to head back to that passage in just a little bit, but I want to tag you along with just a little bit of our story on how Sarah and I have met and what kind of happened in our relationship. So Sarah and I started dating when I was 19 and she was 17. I was back in America. I was on the PACE team at that time. I was a team leader. It was my second year in PACE, and Sarah was in Germany, a working student. So she went to school and she was working at the same time. One thing that I've always loved about Sarah back then and still do today is one thing that she's not is mediocre. She would not do anything 50% or 70%. She's either all in or she's not there at all, which I absolutely love about her. Like, same thing with Jesus and her story with Jesus and how she invested herself into the church. She just said it, like, when she was young, she, you know, had this split. She can either, you know, live a double life, or she can decide for one or the other. And she decided to follow Christ with all her heart. She ended that relationship back then because she knew that it wasn't what God had intended her to do. It wasn't a relationship that was heading towards marriage. Thank God. So, otherwise, I'd probably not be sitting here. So, we both made a decision to follow Christ. And, going into that relationship, we knew that we wanted to follow Christ and serve Him with everything that we are and with everything that that we want to do. Back then, I knew that I wanted to do full-time ministry, and I told her that right from the very beginning. I'm like, I have a strong feeling that God is calling me into full-time ministry, and you know, I told her what that could look like, and she's like, I love it. She wants to be part of it. And from the very beginning, we started our relationship back in my hometown on this little roof on like a field. It was awesome. I took her out and asked her if she can be my princess. And she said yes. And then 2 weeks later, I left for America. Well done, Pat, right? I know. So we actually had a long-distance relationship for 1 year, which was crazy. And looking at that long-distance relationship, we made it through, obviously, but we made it through not because we were so much in love that our love overcame the long-distance and everything was beautiful after we reunited. No, that was not the case. It was hard. It was hard to do a long-distance relationship. There's time difference involved. I was, I think, 8 hours behind. So basically, when I went to sleep, she woke up. When she went to school, she came or to work, and then she came back, and that's when I woke up. So then I had to go to work while she, you know, had her time off. So basically, I couldn't talk to her because I was at work. It was a mess. But what really brought us through was that we knew in that relationship that we're heading towards towards marriage, and we're heading towards towards following Christ and doing everything for Him. We knew that this relationship was for God and for you know, for nothing else. Obviously, you know, we enjoy each other's company, but we knew that we were heading towards that. And during that time, what I absolutely loved is we actually learned what it means to talk to one another, because the only thing that we had was Skype. Thank God for Skype. And so, you know, we actually read the Bible together over Skype. We prayed together. We talked for hours. We would actually write letters to one another. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like a piece of paper that you take out and a pen. And once you're done writing that, you actually physically have to go to a post office. It's pretty much like the mail program, but you physically have to go there. And then you send it off, and it takes a few days, you know, until the letter arrives. And she actually made this little booklet for me, which is super, super awesome. Like, she actually made this. Like, it wasn't like a book before or something. It was, I don't know, a piece of carpet probably, a piece of carport before. And she made a booklet for me, which she sent me to America. It's, you know, like a thing of, you know, Bible verses and letters that she wrote to me, which is absolutely beautiful. She's so creative. I absolutely love that about her. And then Sarah joined Pace. And what I loved about that was she applied for Pace, and she told the national directors back in America, she's like, I don't care where I'm going to be, if I'm going to be in Colorado where Pat is, or if I'm going to be somewhere else. I just want to, because she had a strong feeling that her next step is to do Pace, and to, you know, that was her next step of obedience. And she's like, I don't care if I'm going to be where Pat is or if not. I just want to do what Christ wants me to do. Lucky enough, they placed her in Colorado, and we got to, it was really the first time where we, you know, got to live out our relationship, where we, you know, could have, you know, spend some time with friends, spend some time together, actually go to the movies and, you know, just eat some popcorn and stuff. Because, you know, it's important to eat popcorn. That's right. So during that time, though, what we realized, you know, now finally being really together and being able to live life, we realize we have no idea what we're actually doing. We have no idea what it looks like to live a godly relationship. You know, we had, each of us had a relationship with God, but what does it look like to live a relationship together with God? We're like, we have no clue what that looks like. We talked about it just a little bit. Her parents, only her mom is a Christian. Her dad is a non-Christian, so they didn't necessarily live, you know, be a good example on what that looks like to be in a Christian godly relationship. My parents, they're very different people, and my mom is very introverted, my dad is very extroverted, and they are Christians, both of them, but they never really showed me what it really looks like to thrive towards God in their relationship. God was always part of it, but does that make sense? Like, it wasn't, I never really saw that. That makes sense? So what we came to realize is we need help. We need not help as in, you know, we're not doing good, but help in, hey, we need somebody that pours into our life. Like, some couple where we can look up to and like, all right, this is a couple where we can actually imagine that they pour into our lives, because we want to become like they are. Does that make sense? So back then, we were super lucky that Tony and Julie Miller, who are the national directors of Pace, Pace Australia now, you got to meet them. They're absolutely fantastic. You got to try Julie's chocolate chip cookies. They are off the charts. I probably get diabetes because of those chocolates. They're absolutely amazing. No, but we actually asked them if they can pour into our lives, because we saw them. We saw the way that they lived their relationship. Tony was a youth pastor. He was in full-time ministry. Julie had been with him for the past 20 years. Part of it, they were dating. Part of it, they're married. And they've been doing this, you know, ministry together for so many years. And us knowing that we want to go into full-time ministry, we're like, hey, this is a couple that can teach us what that looks like. Not everything about them we wanted to adopt into our life. Not everything, But we saw beauty in them. We saw that they are so much farther ahead than where we are. And we wanted to get a glimpse of what they know. We wanted to understand where God has taken them. Does that make sense? Which is why we asked them if they can mentor us. And what that looked like was every other week we would just meet with them. They took us to this little place called P.F. Chang's. It's in Colorado. Colorado is beautiful. It's where Garrett is from, actually. So P.F. Chang's in Colorado Springs by the Apple Store. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, he lived like right around the corner from there. Anyway, that's where we met every other week. And going into that, we knew what we were getting into, because they were people that weren't okay with, you know, how you doing? Yeah, we're doing fine. They were not okay with that. They were like, all right, how you guys doing? Like, really doing? And then we told them, and then they were able to speak into our lives. Like, really speak to the heart. And we told them when we had an amazing week. We told them when we didn't. We told them when, you know, we were fighting. We told them when we had, you know, the best day of our lives. And they were able to walk with us and really, in, you know, pour into our lives so that we can thrive. Because we knew that they're not going to try to break us up because they didn't like us or something. We knew that they were going to really pour into us because they wanted us to thrive in our relationship. They wanted us to move forward in our relationship. So, let's look back to Titus. Titus 2. And just look at it real quick. What Paul is writing to Titus about a mentor, about people that are godly. So to the men, he writes, be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in life, and sound in endurance. To the women, Paul says, to be reverent in their ways of life, not addicted to alcohol. Apparently that was an issue back then. But just for the woman, obviously, right? And teach them what is good so they can teach the younger women again, which is absolutely fantastic. You've got a mentor relationship right there. Like, you know, Paul is teaching Titus. Titus is teaching his people, and then his people are teaching the younger generation. Fantastic. And then, so what he says about teaching the younger woman is love their husbands, love their children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husband, which basically means to love one another and to be united in one another. And I love that Paul understood something back then that we oftentimes don't understand. And nowadays, like 2,000 years later, that we actually need people to pour into our lives. Not because we're needy or something, or because we're helpless, what we are, but you know what I mean? Like, we need people that pour into our lives, not just when you're a couple, but also when you are just doing life. It's absolutely crucial to have people that pour into your life, just as the Bible teaches us to make disciples. Just as we should pour into other people, we should have someone that pours into us. Tony actually mentored me. He's been mentoring me for the past 7 years, which is phenomenal that time just flies. I'm getting old. He's been mentoring me for the past 7 years, and he and his wife started to mentor us when Tony had already mentored me for, I think, 3 years or something. So I absolutely love that he said, hey, I want to invest in this guy, and I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for him. And we wouldn't be together if it wasn't for them. So in all of that, I would highly encourage you to go back to Titus, read that passage, and write down what does Titus write, say about what is a godly man, what is a godly woman, and what do we need to teach one another? And then find somebody that checks off those things. Somebody that is self-controlled. Somebody that is respected, sound in faith, sound in life, sound in endurance. Find that somebody and ask that person if he can pour into your life. So this can be, this can look a lot of different ways. There's, I don't know where you're at, like if you're in uni, if you're in school, or if you work, or what your goal is in life. But let's say you want to become a businessman or a businesswoman. You're going to need some people that help you along the way. Because if you want to be a businessman, then you're not going to be that overnight. It's going to be a process until you get there. How cool would it be if there was a businessman in your church, you know, that has these qualities, but is also thriving in his, you know, in his normal life, and is a really good businessman? What if that person would pour into you and show you, what does it mean to be a godly man, to be a godly woman? What does it mean to be a good businessman or a businesswoman? But then what does it actually mean to be a godly businessman or a godly businesswoman? How cool would it be if we learn from one another? And then you are at a place where people pour into you, someone poured into you, and then you can actually pour into somebody else because you've learned something. Does that make sense? So I wrote down three things that I think are important in a mentor as well. That's the first one for me is that person needs to love Jesus with all their hearts. That's like the number one thing. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. So what number one thing, like, look for somebody that loves Jesus. Look for somebody that has the qualities that you want to have. If that's obviously first thing, the godly, you know, person that he is, that you want to be that. But then also, again, I wanted to be in ministry. Tony was a youth pastor. There was no doubt that he's the right person for me to mentor me, because he can teach me things, because he's done it for the last 20 years. I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew that that's what God wants me to be. So I asked him if he can mentor us, and the same thing for our relationship. I knew we are going to be at that place where we are going to be doing full-time ministry, and we are now, after 5 years. Yeah, we've been together 6 years, and back then, so it doesn't matter, 4 or 5 years later, now we are in full-time ministry, but Tony and Julie helped us to get there. And then the last thing is, there we go. He's farther along in life than you are. Like, if you look up to somebody, he doesn't need to be, you know, 120 and, you know, he's got all the wisdom in life, but You can have somebody that is only 2 years older than you are that can pour into your life. But I actually truly believe that the generation of your parents, the generation of your grandparents, are actually an amazing resource for you to pour into your life, because they've done so much already, they've gone through so much already, that that wisdom should be downloaded to us so that we can thrive in our life, that we can thrive in our relationships, if that makes sense. Cool. So, I wrote down four things that I think are important. I'm going to close with this. I wrote down four things that I think are important when it comes to thriving in life, but also thriving in your relationship. The first one is, before you even start thinking about dating, find out who you are in Christ. Find out who you are in God. Because if you know who you are in God, and I know it's a work in progress, but if you know who you are in God, and if your partner knows who they are in God, then that relationship has the best foundation that you can ever have. When you are dating, understand that you need help to live a godly relationship. You need, like Sarah said it before, like you need people that are able to pour into your life, that be able to speak into your life, and that, you know, ask the hard questions. Ask the question, like, how are you doing with your sexual temptation in your relationship? How are you doing with, you know, with reading the Bible together? How are you doing with serving together? Like, what does your relationship look like? Have somebody that you are allowed to ask those questions, those hard questions. And then again, find an older, more experienced couple that mentors you, that gives you full, that you get full access to speak into every single part of your life. And then the last one is kind of along those lines, but it's surround yourself with people that have a positive influence in your life. I'm not saying, you know, neglect everybody that is a non-Christian and don't have anything to do with them. I say go and have friends that are not that are non-Christian, invest in their life, but let them not be the ones that define what your relationship is supposed to look like. Have people of peace that understand what it looks like. Have a mentor relationship with somebody that understand what it means to be in a godly relationship, and let them pour into your life. And then when you have other like friends that are non-Christians, you be the one that pours into their life. Let them not define your relationship. Does that make sense? Cool. Let me pray. And then we'll finish off. Thank you, Jesus.